The regular scheduled meeting of the Boards of Zoning Appeals. First, I want to welcome to the board Bud Cowan. Thank you.
Thank you. Great. Thank you.
Notice that to the public, the time, the date, place, and the agenda for this meeting was given by publishing a legal notice in the Aiken Standard on February the 4th. By February 5th, notice to the contiguous property owners were mailed, signs were posted, and on February 21st, notice was given to the webmaster for posting on the city webpage, to the tourism coordinator for posting on the city cable television station, to the city clerk for posting on the municipal building notice board at least 24 hours before this meeting. Agenda sheets were mailed or emailed to interested parties. As a reminder, it is unlawful for any person giving testimony to this board knowingly providing false information according to Section 22-9 of the Aiken Municipal Code. Each infraction is a separate offense with a penalty of up to 30 days in jail and or a fine of $1,092.50. Those persons that wish to have a conversation with the board, we ask that you occupy the cubicle to my left. Please speak into the recording devices so that your conversations with the board can be properly recorded. Please state your name and your address. Those persons that wish to receive proceedings of tonight's meeting may sign up on the sign-up sheet just beyond the double board. To the board, you have received copies of the January 2nd, 2014 regular meeting minutes. Are there any corrections or additions?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we accept the minutes from the previous meeting, one of those meetings.
Second.
Been properly moved and second that we accept the January 2nd, 2014 meeting minutes. Do we have any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, will you show by raising the right hand? The motion is carried.
I wasn't at that meeting.
One abstention. The motion is carried. No final orders.
Yes, I would like to take a moment and while I pass around the final orders for signature, there's also a card for Henry. And I know you've filled in, many of you have given me the update on your contact information sheets, and if you'll just slip these in the same folder then and sign Henry's card, then when it comes back around, I won't have to chase after you at the end of the meeting.
How many years was Henry on the board?
A lot.
Or you're not going to tell us?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
At least a full term, if not two. I would think at least six, perhaps nine.
No, at least three. Yeah. I mean, it was over 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. We have a long agenda in terms of new business. That was the old business. We have new business that we have the audience sit through a few items of routine business. Each year we elect our officers, so I will declare that the floor is open for nominations for the chairperson, vice chairperson, and secretary.
You want each one at a time, or?
Preferably, but okay, at your pleasure.
I'd like to nominate Larry Ogletree for the president.
I second.
Any other nominations? The nominations close on the one name. Any discussion? Those in favor of the nominee, show by raise of the right hand. You're stuck with me for another year.
That's a good thing.
That's a good thing. The floor is open for a nomination of the vice chair.
Make a nomination for Judy Turner, the vice chair.
Judy Turner.
Second.
And then second by Bud. Judy Turner is nominated for vice chair. Any other nominations? Nominations closed. Any discussion? Those in favor of Judy Turner for vice chair, raise your right hand.
Do I vote?
Yes. And the vote is unanimous.
Thank you all very much.
The floor is open for nomination of secretary.
Want me to do that too? Nominate Sandra Korbelik.
Sandra Korbelik has been nominated. Any other nominations? The nomination is closed. Any discussion? Those in favor of Sandra Korbelik, raise your right hand. The motion is unanimous. The second item on the new business is the adoption of the 2014 meeting schedule. You have a copy in your packet. Are there any objections to the proposed meeting schedule from staff?
They look good to me.
The chair will solicit a motion.
I so moved.
Second.
And moved by Judy and second by Bud that we adopt the 2014 meeting schedule as proposed in the package. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor of the motion, show by raise of the right hand. The motion is carried. I call your attention to application 1493013, a variance approval to increase fence height and associated variances to allow an existing fence at 434 Newberry Street Northwest in a zone RML. To the city, has this been properly posted?
Yes, it has.
Any inquiries that you wish to share with the board?
No, I have a short presentation, however.
Thank you.
This is an application brought before you on behalf of Frank and Mary Allison Lois. They are the property owners of 434 Newberry Street Northwest. The property is about a quarter acre in size and developed with a single family home, as shown on the exhibit before you, which is found in your staff packet as Exhibit B. The applicant has erected a 6-foot-high wood fence along the side and the rear property lines, which is, according to the standards found on the zoning ordinance, comes along here and down here. But at this point, along the side property line, the code would define the fence height as needing to drop down to 4 feet because this area is considered the front in front of the front plane of the house. And the applicant's fence continues all the way down to roughly close to the edge of the front property line down here. So the application before you is to have 14.5 feet of the wood fence allowed to be 6 feet in height instead of 4 feet in height. The applicant has responded to the 6 variance criteria, which is before you, but there were possibly a few questions that the board might wish to consider in their deliberation. And one is the purpose of the fence, as described by the applicant. And this is the photograph of the neighboring property. Here's the fence. And this is an outdoor front patio, which is heavily used, I understand, in the summertime and in the better weather. The applicant states that the need for the higher fence to the property line is to provide a screening and buffering from the front patio area of the neighbor. But you can see in this photograph that the front patio area is roughly in line with the house itself. Here's the applicant's window and house along here. And secondly, you can see that there's a significant grade drop between the neighboring property and the applicant's property. I was out there, and I would estimate it's between 2 and 3 feet. So as viewed from the neighbor's property, the fence is not 6 feet in height, but it's 6 feet in height plus that additional increase in grade. So it wasn't necessarily clear, unless, of course, it's up to the board, as to whether all six of the variance criteria are met.
Any questions to the city?
A question, Mr. Chairman. My observation was that the patio, of course, it's angle and perspective. I didn't step on the neighbor's property. That the patio didn't extend at least significantly beyond the front plane of the house. Is that correct?
Did or did not?
Thank you.
I didn't quite understand your question.
Did not extend significantly beyond the applicant's front plane of the house.
The applicant could answer that best. I feel it doesn't, and that's why I submitted this photograph in the packet, because this is taken almost in line from the neighbor's driveway across. So I tried to get a direct line.
And the setback of the applicant's house is about normal for those lots. It's certainly within code.
Let me see, because I looked into that.
20.
It's roughly, it's about normal. It might be a little closer to the street, but I wouldn't say it's farther from the street.
And the neighbor's front patio is an unusual design use feature. You'd agree with that?
I'm sorry, did you use
the neighbor's patio, front patio?
Is.
I'd say an unusual use feature.
Yes, I would say most people have patios in the back. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Judy?
Are there two living spaces on that property?
The applicant's property?
Mm-hmm. No, the next door neighbor. There's a house in the front, mm-hmm. and then there's something in the back that looks like people live there, too.
I'm not sure about that. I inspected it myself, and I saw the building in the back, but I didn't identify its use.
Okay, well, I was by there today, and the door was open, and people were obviously going in and out, but I guess we can ask the owners of the other property, maybe.
Any other questions to the city? Thanks, Sandra. Mr. and Mrs. Mullis? Would you state your name and address, please?
Frank Mullis. My address is 2254 Hillsdale Drive, Aiken, 29803.
Now, Mr. Mullis, you received a copy of the staff report. Do you wish to embellish on the report or just respond to and from questions from the board?
Well, you know, I think Mr. did a very, very nice job of presenting it. The only thing I would say is that we were not aware of the ordinance when we built the fence, so we would have, we would have complied with the codes. It's just a problem there. There's a noise problem. They have a lot of visitors at this property, pretty much 24 hours a day. They sit in front of the house and blow the horn. The guy goes out and gets in the car with them, and I don't know what they do, but anyway, that happens. And if they don't get there fairly quick, they just keep on blowing the horn until he comes out.
Did you build the fence, or did you have a contractor, a licensed contractor?
We had a contractor build the fence.
He's licensed in the city of Aiken?
I presume. He is actually, this guy, I say he's a contractor, he's more of a handyman that has done some work for us, and I bought the materials, and I really don't know what type of licenses he has.
The reason for the question is that we've had many applications like this, and we make sure that the contractors that are licensed by the city are well aware of the ordinances, and that they would have known that you cannot extend the same height beyond the front plane of the house. That's the reason for the question.
Yes, sir. And he doesn't live in Aiken. He just does some handyman type of work. Doesn't do a lot of carpentry, mostly stonemasonry and yard work and that sort of thing.
Questions from the board?
Yes, Mr. Mullis, could you also respond to the question I asked Mrs. Korbelik, that the patio, my observation from the from outside of the neighbor's property was that their patio didn't extend significantly beyond the front plane of your house?
I would say it's about even with it, probably. I don't think it really extends significantly past it.
Okay. So
that house is set back a little bit from this house, but this house, 434 Newberry, is I would say exactly the same distance from the street with the house on the other side of it.
So as far as the screening from, looking at this as a visual nuisance, unless you stood in your front yard, if you were any place in your house, you really can't see the neighbor's patio.
Well, I guess I just don't know the answer to that question. I just don't know. I mean, if you're walking up and down the driveway, you certainly could, and I'm just not sure. I mean, you certainly can't with the flips there. I mean, if you stood in the house, I just don't know, quite frankly.
Well, with the limitation of 4 feet and 6 feet on the side, it's certainly the intention of the ordinance not to provide a license to visually block your, a view of your house or out of your house from all angles. And, it's just not the purpose of the ordinance.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how to comment on that. Like I said, the fence serves a purpose there. It's a privacy fence, and we didn't realize that it was too high when we had it built. We probably would have tried to get permission to do it had we realized that, but we did not. But it certainly serves the purpose of doing that, as well as providing privacy for the people at 434 Newberry from the people on the other side.
Now, you mentioned that earlier when you first started speaking that the activity next door is kind of 24 hours a day.
Yes, sir.
Well, there's nighttime gatherings?
That's my understanding. I've never seen them. That's my understanding. There have been several police reports filed about that.
I mean, are there any parties? Is there music?
No, sir. I think it's just visitors showing up at the house at all hours of the day and night. I've got a copy of two or three police reports where music's real loud, but I think it's mostly just visitors showing up for the...
But you have made complaints to the police?
The tenant there has, yes, sir. He's made three complaints that I know of.
Okay, thank you.
The fence was not your only option for the visual and the sound problem. I assume there's some sound absorbing vegetation, trees that could be planted.
Yes, sir. We are planting, I think, tea olive trees there. It's just going to take them a while to grow up, but we are doing that. Yes, sir.
I have a question from the Judy and then Brandon.
Okay. In the house next door, in the space next door, are there two living areas?
Ma'am, I'm not sure that, what goes on, or if it's anybody's living in that dwelling or that back. It looks like more like a storage bin of some sort to me, but I'm just not sure if someone lives back there or not. I just don't know.
Okay. Well, like I said, I've been there by there a number of times, but this was the first time I noticed that people were going in and out of the back area. I haven't seen anybody in the front. Mm-hmm. Now, to your knowledge, is anybody living in the front one?
Well, I presume they live there. I mean, I've certainly not met them or discussed that, but I presume they're there most of the time. I presume there's, you know, about, seems to be about a half dozen people there, two or three adults and two or three children.
Yeah, Mr. Morris, have you, I didn't, I'm not a fence expert, nor did I take a real close look at his construction, but have you had your handyman look at his ability or your ability to bring the fence into compliance with the existing ordinance?
Well, I mean, it's a wood fence. I don't think it would, I mean, well, obviously, if that's what we have to do, we'll have to do it. We would certainly appreciate your consideration here, because the fence, like I said, we've already built the fence, and it is serving, a purpose for everybody. And but if that's what we have to do, I guess all you need is a saw. I don't know. I don't know anything about that, but it's wood. I mean, it's not masonry or anything.
Well, to Chairman Ogletree's comment in terms of bringing the fence into compliance and using some vegetation, I think you could, you know, accomplishing your major goal, which is the sight and sound buffer from that.
Well, it'll just take a long time to do it, and we are in the process of planting things there, but you know, when you plant stuff, it just takes a couple of years to grow.
Okay, no further questions.
There's also in the front window of the house next door, not 434, there's a sign from the city of Aiken in there. Do you know what that is?
It's what?
There's a sign inside the window from the city of Aiken. Do you know what that is?
No, ma'am, I have no idea.
Is that something we could ask Tommy about?
I when I did a site inspection, I didn't see a sign in the window.
Well, I did it before the last meeting, and I did it before this meeting. It's still there.
Okay.
It's some kind of city of Aiken. It's a tan colored whatever, but I couldn't get close enough to read what it said.
Are there other questions from the board?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Morris, if you were, you said the person that put the fence up was a handyman.
Yes.
So whether he was licensed or not and so forth and so on, you didn't know. And I gather he was instructed to put up a 6-foot fence. Is that right? Just from point
yes,
A
sir.
To point B, right?
Yes, sir.
Would you, if you were, you were instructed to lower the fence in the section that we're talking about to be in compliance, would the same person be utilized to do that work, or is that something that you would go and get a license?
If he is available to do it, I would probably try to contract him to do it. He's pretty busy right now because he does a lot of yard work and all the, you know, the he's doing a lot of, you know, the storm damage cleanup, so I would probably try to get him, yes, sir.
Okay, I was just getting someone that's familiar with what we're trying to accomplish here in the ordinance and so forth and to comply, if this board decides to, say, comply with the ordinance. I hope that whoever does it would be aware of, okay, if it says 4 feet, it's 4 feet. If it says, whatever it says, I think the same 4 feet, or maybe a step down or whatever to 4 feet, he would know what to do. He or she would know what to do.
I'm sure he would. He's, you know, pretty good, like I said, handyman and
okay. Little
and everything.
Okay.
Other questions from the board for Mr. Mullins?
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And I appreciate your consideration.
Do we have others to speak to the variance request? Final call, others to speak to the variance request. Seeing hearing none, the chair will entertain a motion so we can enter a period of discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we deny application 14-93013.
Do we have a second?
A second.
Been properly moved and second. Jason made the motion. Brandon seconded that we deny the application, the various application. Do we have any discussion?
I understand Mr. Mills' concerns about the noise and the visual issues, but as other members of the board have mentioned, vegetation, law enforcement are probably the better ways to mitigate your issues. In addition, your application does not meet applications or criteria 3 and 4.
Other discussion?
I certainly agree with the motion on the grounds that it doesn't meet the criteria, particularly and specifically criteria 3 and 4.
And I certainly feel for the occupants if there is this horrendous display of noise and so forth, but I think maybe law enforcement ought to be called more frequently and maybe they could deal with it.
Other discussions?
Well, I would say I'd empathize with the applicant, but the ordinance is what it is. And the criteria, I agree, I don't think number 3 or number 4 are met.
I can attest to the fact that there are a lot of people coming and going because I drive down that street just about every day, and I see them in the summertime particularly, but I have to agree with that criteria is not met.
Mr. Chairman, just to get a reading from the city, if this motion is approved and the application is denied, the applicant has, 30 days from today's meeting?
Well, typically we pend any action until the final order is signed, which is 30 days.
30 days from the
final
order.
And then the zoning officer, Mr. Paradise, will work with the applicant to set up a time frame, but typically we give them another 30 days. So that would be actually 60 days from tonight's date.
And it may be, though, that more time could be given considering the state of our handymen around town with all of the damage that we've done due to the storm.
Yes, and if you're willing to leave that up to staff, we'll work with the applicant and the situation. Unless you'd like to add a requirement that it be 60 days from the date of the final order.
I think the staff could handle that.
I think we'll leave it up to staff. Do we have any further discussion? Those in favor of the motion, show by raise of the right hand. The motion is passed unanimously. I call your attention to application 1492001. I'm going to request that we hear the application, second application 1493015. We hear them together, but the chair would request a separate motion at the end of discussion for each of the applications. Application 1492001 is a special exception request for a pleasure stable and paddock at 1050 Two-Notch Road and it's zone RES-15. Application 1493015 is a variance request for a stable size and location and associated variances at the same address. To the city, has these been properly posted?
Yes, it has.
Any inquiries that you wish to share with the board?
I'd like to introduce another exhibit to special exception application 1492001, and that would be exhibit R, which has been already placed before you.
Thank you.
And it's an email I received this morning from Herc Jonassy.
Thank you. You have a presentation for us?
Yes, I have a short presentation. Then my presentation will also cover both applications and at the same time. The first application is the special exception application, which is a use application, and it's brought to you on behalf of Gail and Daniel Bruner for the property owners at a house at 1050 Two-Notch Road. They're requesting pleasure stable that would consist of paddocks, a stable of two stalls and a tack room and a on their 1.5 acre, 1.45 acre property. Now, we're familiar with the fact that when you're in a residential zone, RS-15, and have an acre or more in property, that you can come before the board with a special exception request for pleasure stables. We've had them off and on over the years, and that is what the application before you today is. However, there's also a variance application accompanying it, and that is because the stable would be placed between the front plane of the house and the street, and typically these detached outbuildings are looked to be behind or alongside of a house. So that's the one variance request, is to locate it actually kind of in front of, closer to the street than the house is. And the second variance request is to increase that floor area ratio between outbuildings and the principal dwelling. We've established in the past that that ratio is 50% of the heated floor area of the principal dwelling. That is the maximum floor area that the outbuildings can have. And, of course, the purpose of that is to make sure that the dominant feature on residential property is the residence. In this case, the applicant has a separate detached two-story building, a carriage house, which has the garage and workshop on the bottom floor and a small accessory apartment on the top floor. The property, as I said, is located at 1052 Notch Road. Somehow I got behind and in front. Here we are. And that's shown on this exhibit, which is in your staff packet as Exhibit C. The property has an unusual triangular shape. That's this area right here. And is abuts on the edge of an RSS zone, but is surrounded on three sides by RS-15 property. Another distinguishing feature which applies to both applications is that it's one of the larger tracts, whoops, now where is it, in the immediate area, and the lots, however, surrounding it on the three sides are actually smaller, roughly between a third to a half acre in size. And you start to get the larger properties when you move into the RS and the HD zones, and that's shown here as well. I included as an exhibit the future land use map in the comprehensive plan. This is known as the Horace Hitchcock Woods Planning District, and I wanted to call to your attention the fact that the majority of property in this district has a low density residential zone. And the properties that have an actual equestrian facility to them, not just the private ownership, is shown in green. The low density residential zone is shown in yellow. The application before you, here we are. So this is the house on the top. I couldn't get the entire house in one photograph. And then this is the carriage house and the second floor apartment. But it's a one-story house, and it's roughly 3,676 square feet. The two-story carriage house is another 1,292 feet. The stable that the applicant is requesting would be 640 square feet. And on the site plan, there's an indication of the location of the stable. This is very hard to read, and I apologize for that, but this is the circular drive. This is the carriage house. This is the main house. This is the proposed stable. And then the white dotted line is the paddocks area. The paddocks area was very carefully laid out to make sure that there's no place in the paddocks area that is closer to a neighbor's structure or recreation area than it is to the house itself. That's one of the requirements in having a horse in a residential zone, is that you try to make sure that the impacts are as close or closer to the house than it is to the neighbors' properties, or not the properties, but their recreation structures or dwellings.
Can I interrupt you?
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about the square footage.
Mm-hmm.
Using your numbers, I came out that the carriage house was 2,083 feet, square feet. By taking your total of 2,723, which is what you say it would be if we built the proposed stable with 640 square feet. So
I'm
subtracting 640 from 2,723, I come out with 2,083.
Yes, and I stand corrected. The garage workshop is 1,292, but the second floor apartment, which also counts as floor area, is 767. And I forgot to mention that in the totaling the numbers.
Okay, so that means that that this property is already out of compliance because the carriage house alone would be 145 square feet larger than 50%.
Right.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, what they're asking for is a floor area ratio of 76% rather than 50%. And what's interesting is that, let me see, I figured this out. They would have to remove 840 feet from the carriage house somehow in order to have the stable.
I saw mentioned a couple of times that there were two proposed locations. Where would the second location be?
Well, the second location, in the event that the variance for the location does not occur, the applicant is able to place the stable in line with the house in this area here. And they just felt that this was a better location for two reasons. One is that it pulls it farther away from these smaller lots to the rear, so there's less impact. And it's a little more convenient to the paddocks area so that there's more functionality.
Could you do that again?
If the second location was selected, they would not need a variance.
They would not need a location variance.
Right.
Where is the proposed location?
Right here.
Where? That's the house, isn't it?
No, this is the stable. The house is under the trees in this area here.
Okay. Okay, so the proposed, the alternate location would be more behind the house.
It would be alongside the house. Yes, it would be more behind the house.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at your Exhibit B in the staff report on the special exception, which one is this? No, the variance, Exhibit B. It's a little easier to read. It's hard to sometimes to get copies of copies, and I'm afraid that that's what we had to do to reproduce the packet. But if you look at Exhibit B in the variance report, you'll note it says location of stable, and you'll note that in the paddock area, the apex of the paddock area right here is where location, the other location would occur. But you can see that pulls it much closer to impacting the neighbors to the rear.
Would that alternate location require a variance?
Not for location.
Not for location.
It would meet the rear setback distance of 10 feet, and that would be the only variable that they would really need to comply with. As long as the stable is closer to the house than it is to any neighbor's dwelling or recreation structure.
And it would meet all the requirements.
They still need a variance for the 50% rule.
Yeah. They still need a variance for that.
But was the 50% rule in place when they built the carriage house? In other words, was there a variance granted the first time around?
There was not a variance granted the first time around. I believe that the carriage house is rather old, and the 50% rule didn't go into effect until about 1999.
So this would be grandfathered.
I can't answer that directly. I believe the applicants purchased the property in 1997 and that the carriage house was in place at that time.
Okay.
I call your attention to the criteria for special exception first, and in doing so, I would like to call your attention again to the relationship of the neighboring properties to the site itself. And I'm going to go back to the vicinity map to do that. And this is again in your staff report as Exhibit C, so it might be easier, whichever is easier for you to look at. But the house is next to an equestrian district as far as actual equestrian uses go. Much of the Horse Hitchcock Woods planning district has some of the smaller lots that really are just designated and used as single family, and many of these smaller lots are in this RS-15 area here and also around the applicant's property here. Dumbarton Oaks to the south and to the direct west is RS-15 property, which reflects the smaller lot and kind of neighborhood residential area. The applicant is going to use the tip of the property for the paddocks and stable, which is more toward the RS-15 side. However, it is a larger parcel, 1.45 acres, and the applicant does have some significant perimeter screening to visually buffer the horses from these adjacent neighbors. So it's not clear how well they meet some of the special exception criteria. Regarding the variance criteria, if the board approves the special exception and the use, then that sort of establishes that there's going to be a horse use and they're going to need shelter. And regardless of the merits of where the stable might be located, it will definitely further exceed that floor area ratio. And a variance would have to be seriously considered to allow that. Otherwise, you're not acting really in accordance with your direction.
On the special exception staff report and the conclusion section, there's a address, I don't know where it came from, 1817 Dibble Road.
Oh, I thought I got rid of that.
Oh.
Just cross that out. That's another.
Thank you. I did already. Other questions to the city?
I have a question or an observation I guess I'd like you to comment on. It's my thought that the comprehensive plan and the zoning itself encourages horse ownership, at housing locations. And we do this by right, certainly with RSS zoning, even though probably, I'm sure that half of the houses in zoned RSS are less than an acre, so they couldn't even put in a stable by right. But it certainly reflects the city's intention to accommodate horses at home. We do this by special exception with RS zones, and it appears that the comprehensive plan and the spirit of the zoning is to accommodate especially where lots are more than 1 acre, horse ownership at home. Would you agree with that?
I would point out that the process of special exception is where you really look at the impacts. Mm-hmm. And I would suggest that when you get into an RS-15 or lower zone, you're transitioning into perhaps a more neighborhood and less equestrian use, and that the judgment for the RS-15 special exception applications are really one of compatibility with the immediate neighborhood.
That's exactly what my conclusion is, that it's just a question of whether or not it is compatible with the neighbor's property, the location relative to other lots that aren't RSS lots, and location relative to the street and other things. Thank you.
Other questions from the board to the city?
I do. With the pleasure stable, where they want the where they want it to be located, do you know how many feet that would be to the closest neighboring home at all?
The zoning ordinance requires that any equestrian activity area be closer to the house on the subject property than it is to a neighbor's house or recreation structure. And I know that the paddock's fence is the closest distance is 18 feet from a neighbor's use, and it's 14 feet to the house. I did not look at the stable itself, okay. But the applicant could possibly answer that.
Okay, thank you.
Could you explain that again? It's set a feet from what it's from?
Yes. The zoning ordinance under the maintenance standards, and I think it's number 5, I'm not sure, could be 6, says that your equestrian activity area, I'm paraphrasing, can be no closer to a neighbor's building or recreational structure than it is to the house on the property.
But what is recreational structure? Is that in their backyard?
If we fondly remember a previous application on Tunach Road, it was a bit farther north. In that situation, the recreational structure was a barbecue pit and area.
Okay. So it doesn't necessarily mean their house.
No. It's what a structure could be. For instance, a pool in the zoning code is defined as a structure.
In the I'm trying to comprehend this activity area, and there's an existing fence in this vacant portion of the lot. Is there not a fence?
A perimeter fence?
Yes.
Yes. On the I remember seeing one on the back.
Okay. I recall seeing one on the front, but I didn't get out and walk around that area. But if the applicant's got two horses, is that right? Two stalls, two horses, means two horses, I would think. And that's allowed in the RSS area, right?
Yes.
Two horses per 1 acre.
Well, for RSS, it's an unlimited number of horses on an acre.
Okay.
But this is RS-15.
So that would be two horses per acre,
then
each half acre after that would permit one other horse, right?
Yes.
Okay, so two horses maximum. In this activity area, is the applicant going to fence in the activity area, in other words, have a paddock fence, and then a space between that and the perimeter fence?
Yes,
to maintain?
Absolutely.
Okay, and that distance would be,
The paddock fencing ungulates, so it isn't like a linear fixed distance from the property line, nor is there a requirement that there be a setback for the paddock's fence from the property line. The only requirement is that the activity area, including the paddocks, cannot be closer to a neighbor's building or recreational structure than it is to the owner's. So if you look at Exhibit B, you can see that they have made every attempt to try to work with existing vegetation to maintain a visual buffer.
In the package, as far as fences, photograph 2168 shows a chain link fence, and I thought I remember seeing one on the property closest to the neighbors on that. from their paddock, where the paddock will be located. Do we have other questions for the city?
I have one other question, Mr. Chairman. I guess I was trying to keep things straight. When we, looking at all your exhibits, we had several neighbors comment on whether they agreed, supported the application, or did not. And it looked as though, when looking at the plot map, it looked like there were still, in the end, there turned out to be just two neighbors.
One.
Just one?
Just one.
Because there was Smith and Howard, and Then it looked like somebody changed their mind.
Right.
Smith on Exhibit N and Phillips on Exhibit O.
Is it just, yeah, looking at Exhibit H, my summary showed that it is only lot 11, or address 1105 Two-Notch.
Two-Notch.
The residents there who still object. Everyone else supported, of all the addresses listed, noted, supported the application. Is that correct?
In writing, but not... I think that you have some public that would like to address that when the time comes to open the meeting.
Okay. I'm just trying to summarize all of the exhibits with noting support and non-support.
Yes, the majority of the written support is in favor.
Thank you.
Any further questions from the board to the city? Thanks, Sandra. Mr. and Mrs. Bruner. Question to the city. Do we have on record the authorization for Ms.
The applicant, the property owners are here as well.
Okay.
Yes.
And he's also glad to come up and speak with me if you prefer. I am Mary Gwynn, G-U-Y-N-N, and my address is 210 Colony Parkway, Aiken 29803. I've brought up with me, because I think it'll be much clearer if I may pass it down, a large color map showing the house, which you can see, the proposed location, and then the white dots would be the fence line that would be undulating, as Ms. Korbelik indicated, to preserve the landscaping.
We would have to mark that as an exhibit.
Yes.
And the exhibit S.
That'll make it a little easier for you to see. And one point of clarification, the fence line, it does undulate. The closest it gets to a property line is 18 feet. I believe it was stated it was 18 feet to a recreational structure and an adjacent property. It's actually more than that. It's the closest it gets is 18 feet to the property line. The applicant hired Nancy Mann to design this. She does quite a lot of equestrian properties. Their home, I know you've all, I'm sure you've driven by it. It's beautiful. It is a park-like setting, and that was the intent to maintain that and to visually disturb the property as little as possible. And that's what Ms. Mann has tried to do with this particular plan, and to preserve the trees and the buffer areas. With the location that is shown on that map, one crepe myrtle would be removed, would need to be removed. All of the trees would stay in place. With the other location, more shrubbery would have to be removed to accommodate it. This is just a visually much more appealing location, and functionally it's a much better location for the property. When I started talking with the Bruners about this, I was shocked to learn that this property was zoned RS-15 and not RSS. It was originally under common ownership and a single track with the track immediately to the left. And that property is zoned RSS. This one, I had numerous conversations with staff trying to figure out why in the world the property to the left was rezoned RSS and this one was not. And no one seems to know why. Given the size, it seemed so logical to me that it would have been, but it wasn't. So that's why we're here tonight speaking with you.
I read your statement and I made a note that is not our call.
Correct. And we're not asking for rezoning. I just say it was surprising to me, and when I asked staff, some of them indicated they were similarly surprised and did not have an explanation why this larger track, comparatively speaking, was not included in the RSS rezoning when it was done. But clearly it was not. So as I said, that's why we're here today. In the staff report, there were a number of recommendations or considerations for you tonight. The applicant has reviewed all those. They are certainly willing, able, and prepared to comply with any and all of the recommendations from staff. The one comment I will make, you will notice one thing staff recommended was demolition of the greenhouse. It is actually in really good shape. They will remove it, and they are happy to remove it before construction or before a building permit would issue. But we would ask that you please not require that they demolish it because they would like to donate it to somebody that could use the structure. In addition, as a point of clarification, it appears that three people signed off on a single letter of objection that you all had noted. Two out of the three have recanted that objection and sent in letters of support. They were unclear about what the applicant was requesting, and once they understood, they do support the application. I understand that the primary objection that was voiced in the letter of objection was nuisance, flies, odors, and so forth. The City of Aiken zoning ordinances have very stringent requirements about the maintenance and hygiene standards for maintaining horses, specifically when special exceptions are granted. The Bruners have gone over this with me. They are ready, willing, and able to comply with all of those maintenance standards. Frankly, the horses are going to be closer to their house than anybody else, so they really have a vested interest in making sure that there are no odors, flies, and so forth. And also, I would point out that the maintenance restrictions themselves provide that if a neighbor or anyone has a complaint, they can come to the zoning official and complain. And if the zoning official determines that there is merit in that complaint, the special exception may be revoked so that they couldn't have horses there. So there is a built-in mechanism for dealing with people that are not complying. They said that my clients are ready, willing, and able to comply with that, with those requirements. And I'd be willing to address any questions you have. Mr. Bruner and Ms. Bruner are here as well, and then Nancy Mann, the designer, is also here.
Have they previously owned horses?
They have not previously owned horses. They have ridden horses, and these are actually going to be for their grandchildren who have relocated to Greenville from Florida and are riders.
And are they familiar with the cleaning up process and the controlling the odor issue?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Other board questions? For Attorney Glenn?
I just have one. I don't know if the applicants plan to speak or not, but representing them, I'll ask you, rather than miss the opportunity, would they be willing to accept as a condition that they maintain and the landscape periphery buffer, the visual buffer?
Absolutely. I can say that without even looking, and I do believe that my letter said...
As a condition of the approval?
Absolutely, yes.
Can I ask how much of any of that landscape buffer is still intact after our storm?
There was Ms. Corbelick actually posed that question to us. There was very minimal damage. We actually sent her an email that was very detailed, that Mr. Bruner did. There was a little bit of pruning, but his landscaping came through fairly unscathed.
How about any of the, not that it would be your responsibility, but how about any of the neighbors' subsequent vegetation on their side? Any significant trees down or anything that anyone can comment on?
I'll allow Mr. Bruner to comment on that, if you don't mind.
Would you read yourself into the records, please, your name and address?
Yes, sir. My name is Daniel Bruner. My address is 1052 Notch Road in Aiken.
Thank you.
There were trees down everywhere. Luckily, we didn't have any trees fall on our home. Trees did fall on some of the fences. And when I say trees, I'm talking major limbs. Most of our damage was in the front of our in the very front of the house, in the front of the property. We have a very large water oak and a large a live oak. They had a lot of damage, a lot of limbs down. It took a crew. We hired a crew to help us, and it took a crew about a day and a half, a crew of about 5 or 6 workers, to get up all the limbs and bucket trucks to clean up. There were also trees, limbs, and other debris down in the neighboring yards. Most of the cleanup has been very well accomplished, but the fences that were damaged around the perimeter of our property, I've already contacted for repair of those fences to restore them. So to answer your question, the buffer shrubbery, there was very little damage to that. I'm not saying there wasn't any, but there was very little damage to that, and the visual barrier is still reasonably intact.
Okay. Well, if we have any of the other homeowners to address us, I'll ask that question as well. But thank you.
How much of a visual barrier would there be in the other location that was proposed that wouldn't be in front of the house but be more towards the side rear of the house?
It would be essentially the same. There are some shrubs in the alternate location that would be removed there, somewhat away from the perimeter fencing, though. It would essentially be the same. As far as the paddock, the border is the same.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Bruner, there are 4 properties bordering you that are located on Dumbarton Circle. 3 of them have supported your application. One has not responded. Are you familiar with the lot I'm talking about?
Yes.
Have you spoken to that neighbor?
That's Mr. and Ms. Allen. And because of all of the problems that we've had with the weather, the storm, I did attempt to contact them. They've been away at times, and I have not been able to talk to them other than when we came in the meeting tonight just briefly to mention to them that I had tried to contact them and left a voice message on their answering machine. But we have not talked in detail in any way about our proposal.
And you're assuming that he plans to speak to us? Or don't I know?
I would assume he is, since he's here. Yes, sir. And we were aware of others that had provided letters to the city in support and did not solicit those letters, but when we were informed and some that had not responded, we did make some contacts to see if they had any issues or anything they wanted us to discuss with them. And equally with Mr. Howard, same situation. We've talked briefly about that.
We did talk about
it. Yeah.
Excuse me. This only the conversation between the board and the person in the cubicle.
Thank you.
The two homeowners that initially signed on to the initial objection that later recanted, can you walk me through what was discussed and what they what they felt better about after you spoke with them?
When Ms. Corblett came early in the week, I've forgotten what day you were there, but when she came, she indicated that there were some objections, and Mr. Howard had submitted an objection, and that two of the neighbors had joined with him in that objection. It just so happens we were working in the yards, and the conversation came up, and one of the neighbors indicated that she had not made up her mind. She didn't know enough about the proposal to say whether she objected or supported. So my wife discussed our proposal with her, and she said, well, I don't have any problem. That was Ms. Phillips. Ms. Smith indicated that at the time that she was asked to present her position on this, that she was quite busy, and she just, in a somewhat flippant way, said, oh, just go ahead and sign me up. Again, when my wife discussed our proposal with her, she felt that she did not have any concern and provided her support.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the board?
Thank you.
Do we have others to speak to the special exception or the variance request? Would you state your name and address, please?
Alonzo Allen, 102 Dumbarton Circle, Aiken, South Carolina.
Elizabeth Wright Allen, 102 Dumbarton Circle, Aiken.
Thank you.
We have a problem with this because we have grandkids that come here during the summer, and if one of those kids would spook one of those horses, you imagine what you have. Not that I have anything against horses. No, I don't. I love horses. I'm a farmer. I'm born in the country. But I don't want no disaster with a horse and a kid in the summertime. If you've been at the Steeplechase a couple of times, horse got away, hurt people. We had to put him down. If this happened around my house, I don't know what you're going to do.
We are the one at 102. We're right in the back of where the stable is supposed to be built. We barbecue there. We have cookouts there, I should say. We entertain there. And I don't feel that we should have to be smelled. Okay, they said they're going to bury the smell. But on the other side of the room, there's another house that has horses. And we can smell that. So now this is right in our backyard. Who's going to prevent us from smelling that if we can smell the one on the other side where there is a horse, where there are horses allowed? I just don't agree with it. I don't feel that it should be in my backyard. Even though you say it's 18 feet or how many feet from us, the fence is right there. It's going to be right here. And we're right here. We're cooking and we're eating. And we got the fan flies. I don't think it's fair. I mean, like I say, I have no objection to horses and things, but I just don't want them in my backyard. And there was trees that fell out. I can look over in the yard, they got a beautiful yard. See all the flowers that bloom. There's no, like, bushes and bushes of trees that's going to block us from seeing anything.
Any questions from the board to
Brandon? Mr. Allen, you said you lost some buffer trees or trees back there, or not?
We lost limbs and stuff. Matter of fact, some of them are still there. My husband pulled some out yesterday.
Would the proposed site of the stable itself appears to have been moved almost directly into your field of view towards your particular lot? Would you feel any better about the proposal if the barn itself were moved back behind or closer back behind their residence itself?
I feel better if it was on the other side of the house. That would make me feel better, not in my backyard. I don't know if I am, that's how I would feel. When you sit up close to their house, no matter what, it is still in back of
us. Can we get the...
I don't have Exhibit H prepared on the PowerPoint, which is the map that has the addresses.
Okay.
But I can indicate the location of.
I just wanted to be sure that the
here
that they understood that there's a proposed site that does request a.
But I think given the location of the property, it's not as much. What they're directly next to is the paddocks.
Now look at Exhibit H.
And I don't have that prepared to show, but their property is right here, this corner, this area in here.
How about Exhibit B?
This is Exhibit B. Yeah.
It just doesn't show up.
Yeah.
As well.
And so this is the paddocks area. They're referring to the paddocks area, and then the stable is over here, next to the house. So they're more in that triangular area where the paddocks occur.
You don't have a visual prepared on Exhibit B, H, but could you take a look at Exhibit H?
Sure. They're in between.
It's the lot without a number on it?
Yes, it's directly south of 104.
So it's between 104 and 798.
If you would you outline their lot in relation to where the barn is now?
This is the stable.
Right.
And their property, doesn't have their whole, but their property comes in like this. So they're really not that close to the stable. It's the paddocks that they're the closest to. I mean, they're referring to the entire, use, but this is the location of their property here.
Okay, I'm a lot off.
So are you?
Okay.
No.
I think theirs is the lot that's going up.
We're right there.
102. Here. 102.
That's their lot right
come
there.
Come forward with your beam.
That's right their
there.
Lot.
Right there.
Okay.
So right now, the barn is almost half in their field of view on their lot. So my question to the Allens was, would you put the dot on the barn for a second and move it to where a variance is not requested? Was moved back in that area, would you feel better about the proposal?
As long as I don't have to look at it and see it. I mean, but either way, it's still in our backyard.
There's nothing there going to buffer that odor. I don't care what you do.
I understand. I was just trying to find a way to mitigate some of the issue that you had, which part of it certainly would be maybe having the barn now all of a sudden in your field of view, moving, and that's obviously where the horses are going to collect and stay overnight and all that. Trying to maybe move some of that activity out of your field of view and move their nighttime, I'm assuming, board further up the line, so to speak, behind neighbors who don't have a problem, for lack of a better word.
You mentioned that a horse facility was right next to your property already. Is that correct?
No,
it's next.
Go ahead.
Two houses down.
Okay, how are the flies in your area during the summer? Do you find it that they proliferate a lot more during the summer in that area as opposed to other areas in Aiken? And would you think it would be even greater with this, with this proposed location here?
I think it would be greater. I mean, yes, I think it would be greater. I think we'll have more flies. Flies for the horses.
Well, tell me how is it during the summer right now with the insect problem or insect issues that you may have?
Well, with the insects, we have a lot of mosquitoes.
Do you think it's because of the horses two doors down?
The mosquitoes?
Yes.
No.
I never know mosquitoes that follow horses. I don't know.
Or the horse manure.
Yeah. What I say was I can smell it. Some days we walk it, even in the front yard, you can smell the manure. You can smell it.
Okay.
Where's the property, if you look at this, where's the property that has horses that you can smell?
It's right here.
It would be lot 1004.
It's on 2 notch.
Be 1020, yeah. 2 notch.
1020.
That's an RSS lot.
Okay.
You have a structure in your rear yard. Is that your property? Is there a building in your behind your house by the property? What is that building?
It's a shed.
It's a shed?
It's a shed.
Okay, and so, I mean, that would, that what somewhat blocks your view of the Bruner's yard, doesn't it?
No, it blocks the view of his yard, yes. I would say that.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify a few things. Your objection is the presence of the horse, the smell and the manure, not necessarily the view of the yard with the barn. Is that correct?
But the view, would the view bother me if they put the, it's not the view, no.
No, if you put in the horse stable, the view of the stable doesn't make a difference.
It's the horses.
It's the horses.
It's the presence of the horse in that location, not necessarily the stable.
Right.
It's the fact that the horse is there in a paddock that close to your yard.
And I'm quite sure if you got horses, you're going to have to feed them, you're going to take them out of the stable, you got to walk them around a little bit, you got to water them. And if summertime, you got 70 or 80 degree weather, I got grandkids out there playing basketball in the backyard or something. Hook a horse.
How long have you been in that in that house?
10 years.
10 years? Thank you.
Other questions from the board?
Thank you.
Do we have others to speak to either the variance request or the special exception?
Billy and Diane Howard, 1105 Two Knots Road.
Thank you, Alan. It does smell, and it will smell across the street. This is R15. That's the way it was zoned when I bought my house in 94. I didn't expect horses to be across the street from me. I knew the zoning at that time. And I've been on this board before. I served on it for 7-8 years. And to me, it's this board's responsibility to protect my zoning that I have when I purchase my house. This 50% deal, I mean, they're way over this. And actually, if you think about it, you ought to count the paddocks. Because that's usage that's different than normal. Now, you're not going to do that. But they're way over on that. I've talked to Dan, and Dan's a good man. And I know he'll do everything to make this right. But the bottom line is, I have a right to protect my property with my zoning that I bought it. And y'all have a responsibility to protect my zoning. And this is another big issue with me, is the next person. The next person might not be as good as Dan is. And the next person might make it worse. And any of these people around this area that think those horses being over there is going to increase the value of their property is crazy. Now, I guarantee you, I might have bought the house anyway, but if it had been a horse barn over there, I'd have been less likely to buy that house. You've read my letter, so that's what I got to say.
Any questions from the board to Mr. Howard?
What's your address again?
1105. I'm right across the street.
Okay.
I have a couple of questions, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Howard, your objection is the presence of the horse. As I read your email, it's the smell, the flies.
That's part of it. My real objection is that it's not zoned for that, and that I bought my house where I deserve protection of the zoning that was across the street. And I do think it will decrease the value of my house and all these other people's houses around this area. And I've been here all my life.
I don't want to argue with you, but just to clarify something that I had mentioned with Mrs. Corbelly, it's not zoned for horses by right. It would have to be an RSS lot to have horses by right. And then again, it would have to have more than 1 acre. And as I mentioned, half of the RSS lots aren't able to use
it. But the bottom line is, when I bought my house,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was not zoned for horses.
My point is, you have to let me complete.
I'm sorry.
That an RS 15 lot can have horses.
I know they can.
As long as it meets the special exception qualification. So it's not by right, it's by special exception.
That's exactly right. Okay. I know that.
So it's not that it's not zoned. It's not zoned by right for horses.
But I know this 50% rule with this property. Look how far they've gone over this 50% rule.
I just want to understand your feelings and your objections completely. You're concerned about the presence. You're concerned about the effect on your property value.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay. And you think this would be a negative as far as
absolutely
the value of your property?
Absolutely.
And your quality of life there on that in that location.
You know. I've been around horses. You smell horses, that's nice. Does that increase your quality of life? That's not going to increase mine.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you. Do we have others to speak to the zoning requests, our variance requests, or the special exception?
Mr. Chairman. Thomas Paradise, the zoning official.
Thank you.
And I don't know, you know, which way it goes, but two questions that I wanted to ask you, think about if you make a motion to approve it, is one, I didn't see in the proposed ideas about the conceptually being like Exhibit E, if you want the barn to look the way that the barn's drawn in the exhibit here, you know, you might want to include that. The other thing is there's a special exception. Is it just for the applicants, or does it run with the land? And if you're solid on that, it runs with the land. Just for information.
Thank you.
Quick questions to the board
before you.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I'm a little thick. But tell me again about your first question or consideration.
Well, I'm thinking about down the street, to be honest with you, where we had the issue with the stable, and there was a second floor, and they had to take it off. Do you want the stable to look like what is being submitted here? And if you do, then, you know, if you put the condition that it's conceptually, I think it's Exhibit E, and that ties that in. And if you don't care, that's fine too.
Well, if the drawings that are submitted in this packet show a total of 640 feet, consisting of two stalls, a tack room, and then a shed room, so to speak, right? Are you saying that's conceptual drawing, so it needs to be that way, but are you saying it needs to match with the other architecture or the exterior of the other buildings?
It need to match what's shown here. In Exhibit E, I think it is.
Okay.
What's been submitted by the applicant is just saying, hey, you know, you wouldn't be able to change it to make it look like something different.
Would that not be in Section 1 on that? It says to allow construction of a stable that is conceptually similar to Exhibit E1.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
In the variance.
In variance, I'm looking straight. I didn't bring that one up here.
Exhibit.
Is that in the conditions in the back?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I may have missed that part. Yep, I missed it. I'm sorry. You got it.
Any other questions to the zoning official? Do we have others to speak to either the special exception or the zoning requests, variance requests? Attorney Gwynn, you have a rebuttal time.
Mr. Brandon.
It seems that the primary concern is any odors that might come about. And as we've stated in our submittal, we commit to meeting the requirements that are called for by the city, and the purpose of those requirements are to eliminate the problem of odors from the horses, removing the manure in the time frames that are called for. And we commit to that. The manure container would be much, much closer to our home than it would be to any of our neighbor's property. So it's definitely, as Mayor Gwynn has indicated, to our advantage to control that. So to address that concern, we fully commit to meeting all the requirements and not having the odor problem. From the standpoint of our neighbor and the horse that is already there, we spend most of our time on the side of the yard toward that neighbor, and I've never had a problem with any odor from that. Our garden is back on that side. We work in the garden. They, through the process that they use, control the odor, never had a problem with insects, flies, or otherwise associated with the horse. So I don't see that that will be a problem. We commit to maintaining a barrier, the vegetation that we have, to keep this from being a problem for anyone. And by all means, we are not looking to cause any conflicts with any neighbors or to create an economic impact to any neighbor's property. We are just pursuing what we feel is allowed to us through the special exception and the variance process with the city. And as far as the design of the stable, we have the conceptual presentation in there, and we will commit to meeting the arrangement and size and all that is presented in our proposal. And I'm open to any other questions if I didn't address some of the issues that were discussed.
And I know we've gone over this, but the barn, as cited on the exhibit that was just passed around, shows it roughly 32 feet from Two Notch Road.
That was stated in the staff's. I did a measurement after I saw the staff's report, and in my opinion, the location, which we don't have staked out right now, is probably more in the range of 40 to 45 feet from Two Notch Road.
Okay,
but it's still within, it's beyond the front plane of our home.
Okay. If it's 40 to 45, say, using your number, how much further, if it was closer to your home, if it was moved back further, closer to your home, say, how much further would that be, approximately? There were two locations, as I understand it, two locations. The primary location is what you've cited in the exhibit. This alternate location is the location near your house, which would push it toward the neighbors that are not objecting, that are not objecting to your having horses.
It would move it more toward the back neighbors. That's correct. However, if you look at the picture that is shown on the screen now, I think even the alternate location has some portion of the stable in front of the front plane of the house. So it wouldn't completely avoid that part of the variant request. But it would be closer to the back neighbors, yes.
I have a question, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Bruner, you heard me speak to the fact that in my mind, the comprehensive plan certainly wants to accommodate RS zone lots to have horses at home where they are over 1 acre and where they meet the criteria. And the serious question that we have to contemplate, no matter which way the motion has gone, but each of us, is how this affects the neighbors. Because two of the criteria is compatible with existing land uses. That's for four. Six, not hazardous, detrimental, or disturbing to surrounding land uses. There are two of your neighbors, one across the street and one behind, who I think would seriously object to an approval regardless of what location you put on your property. Certainly that's my observation as far as Mr. Howard's condition. I guess I'd like you to comment, or Mrs. Gwynn to comment, on how you think we ought to address this in light of the neighbor's objection or their perception that having horses on your property, anywhere on your property, with Mr. Allen, I don't know where you put a paddock, let alone a barn, but forget the barn, a paddock directly behind him. It has to go in there. I don't know where else it could go on your property. But their perception is that this is detrimental to their use, the value of their property, and just their quality of life.
Well, my response would be that each of us have our opinions, of course. The thought that we have is that we would not have a thoroughbred, full-size horse. Our desire is to have a small horse, miniature, or pony that is suitable for children to ride. And it would be double-fenced with the existing chain-link fence and the paddock fence that will avoid any issue of safety of neighbors. So I don't know if that adequately answers your question or not.
But you have you made that plan clear to Mr. Allen and Mr. Howard? I mean, do they understand that that's the plan?
I'm sorry. As I said, when I first spoke, I did attempt to talk to the Allens, and we were not able to do that before tonight. We just spoke briefly before the meeting started. The subject of safety related to a horse being on the property didn't come up with Mr. Howard, so I don't know that he has had any issue with that.
Thank you.
You mentioned that you have small miniature horses and ponies, and if you were to, you know, pass on in your issue, gains property, would you think they would have larger horses since this would run with the land?
I don't have any idea.
You don't think they would have thoroughbreds on the land or anything like that? As far, because you made the safety issue, you mentioned about safety issue, and the Allens have and Mr. Howard has, and you mentioned that you want smaller horses and ponies, but your children, your grandchildren may have thoroughbreds. Have you thought about that aspect and you know, maybe putting an additional barrier or a much thicker barrier as far as trying to protect the neighbors?
I understand your point. My grandchildren won't dictate the horse that we have. We will decide that, and we don't have any plans for anything beyond, as I said, a smaller horse or pony.
What I'm saying is you understand that this runs with the land, doesn't necessarily run with you, so when you pass on, somebody else is going to take possession of this land, and so they may have a desire to have a larger horse. Will you plan on building maybe an additional barrier or a thicker barrier so to ensure the safety of you and the welfare of your neighbors?
We will build a paddock fence that is typical of paddock fences, probably a three-rail fence. They have them along the Audubon drive that are, and there are thoroughbreds there. So I guess I don't understand that there would be much difference between a paddock fence for a small horse, a pony, versus even a thoroughbred.
Okay, thank you.
I heard a minimum distance from the paddock fence that you proposed to the perimeter fence of 18 feet. Is that right? That's the minimum. Everything, all going all the way around, it'll be a greater distance.
The layout that we have planned, that we have proposed, brings the paddock within about 18 feet of our home. And our commitment is we will not bring the paddock any closer to any neighbor's home than we do our own. So the that's where the 18 feet comes from.
In that 18 feet or more,
right?
Where you are, where your property abuts the Allens and your other neighbors, and even on along Two Notch Road, that buffer is going to be at least 18 feet. Would you be willing to put some additional plantings in there to further buffer that area between you and your neighbor, i.e., I don't know, pick a tree, a Leyland cypress or something like that to buffer the sight, the noise, the whatever else you would have there. I don't know whether that'd be practical or not, but I'm saying, would you be willing to increase that amount of foliage in the buffer area?
The space between the paddock fence and the existing perimeter fence is reasonably filled with vegetation at this time. To add more probably would be counterproductive, because Leyland cypress, you know, that's about all you'll have in a space when you put Leyland cypress or something like that.
I just use that as an example.
Yeah.
But if you lose foliage, are you willing to put foliage back in there?
Yes.
If something dies off, disease, or something like that, you would maintain at least what you have there now, if not more, if possible.
And we have made that commitment in our application.
Any further questions to Mr. Bruner? Thank you. The chair would entertain a motion so we can enter a period of discussion.
For which application? Which application?
Let's do the special exception.
Mr. Chairman.
Ben.
I think somebody has to make a motion, so we make a decision. In my mind, this application meets all of the criteria, except for two little things. Two of the eight or nine neighbors who have responded to this think it's be detrimental to their property, their property value, and their quality of life. I'm going to make a motion that we approve the application, and the board will just have to make a decision as to whether or not the two neighbors' position creates the situation where the criteria are not met, specifically criteria 4 and 6. So I'm going to make a motion that special exception approval is granted for a stable, paddock, and two horses as requested in the application and shown conceptually in Exhibits B and E1. If the stable location does not receive variance approval, it may be located at the northern edge. Oh, okay, we'll let that one go. I'm making a proposal that it go in the location proposed. And that the condition is that the applicant maintain the location and the effectiveness of the present screening, landscaping, and that the final order recorded in the Aiken County RMC office.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
For the sake of discussion, Mr. Chair, I will second the motion.
Been properly moved and seconded that we approve the special exception request. Do we have any discussion?
I would like to make one other comment. I'm not discounting the Allen and Mr. Howard's position on this. I think the board as a whole has to make a decision as to whether or not the majority of the neighbors' position outweighs the two positions, or whether or not the objection of just one neighbor, let alone two, one in particular in a contiguous on a contiguous lot closest to the proposed, would outweigh everything else and create this require us that we disapprove this.
I would only add that I'm also struggling with condition number 3, because I think the size shape of the proposed site is automatically putting us into a second variance request, which is another issue for me. I'm a horse lover. Contrary to Mr. Howard's opinion, I think horses add to the general values and well-being of a neighborhood, especially where it can conceivably be allowed. Having said that, condition 4 and 6, and to a much lesser extent 11, when we have two neighbors involved who are testifying to us that there is a detriment to their way of life, I think has to be strongly considered.
I guess I have a couple of strange concerns. One, I don't feel that we ought to tackle or try with a special exception to look at changing property designations forever. The reason why I make that statement, grandchildren was mentioned a couple of times. And I don't feel that if we consider this special exception, I don't think I would be in favor of letting it run with the land. Because the grandkids are only going to be really interested in horses, I say, a maximum of 10 years. And then we've changed the property designations from 15 to horses by right. And I don't think that we ought to impose that on the neighbor. We didn't make the ruling in terms of the designation for where they draw the line between horses and no horses. We didn't make that and I would not like to have this run with the land, because it will be extending that rule of horses allowed by right.
I agree, Mr. Chairman. I'm willing to amend my my motion to say that the this would just run with the present landowner, the applicant, as long as the applicant owns the property.
Right. Well, that does that meet the wish of the second to change his motion? You second the motion, not with that attachment.
I would agree to that. If that the motion is being amended to that,
yes,
I will then the amendment.
We would have discussions on the basis of the motions with that added.
Well, how, I mean, help me understand how that works. So the house gets sold, and are you going to make the new owner tear a barn and the paddocks down?
They can't have horses.
They don't have to tear it down, but they can't have
horses. They can't have horses.
They would have to request a special exception.
Right.
Or they
come back to the board to have the special exception. Further discussion.
I have a concern with item four.
Okay. Nancy?
It is compatible with some of the properties in the neighborhood.
Okay.
But with the existing adjacent, you know, directly behind, it is not compatible. And then because of the shape, that's why, you know, three and four kind of go together. If this had just been down a little bit further and had horses behind it, and I am concerned with the safety, and you know, what are the chances the horses are going to spook and attack the, you know, hurt the children next door? But that is their concern, and when they bought their property, this they had no idea that someone would try and do this. And, so I have concerns with this.
In addition, we never know when the applicant may want to have larger horses as well. I mean, he says he wants smaller horses for his grandchildren right now, but that could change 2-3 years down the line. So safety would be more of an importance.
Mr. Chair, I grew up in this area and I've known the area intimately. For most of my life, and I'm looking at this property as a transition piece of property, this triangle piece. The lines stop adjacent to it. Then that I'd look at it as a transition piece from the RSS to the R15. I'm having a little bit of a problem with the existing use adjacent to the property. Adjacent is okay. One side has got RSS. The back have RS15 or have smaller lots. It's been that way for a long time. And but the general neighborhood, I'm having a trouble defining the general neighborhood, but we have the horses there. You can have the horse order a long way, in my opinion. You can have horse order several blocks, several lots down or north of Two Notch. I know I've lived there. So having the horse order doesn't bother me too much. But I hear Mr. Howard's concern that, you know, we've got a lot that needed a variance in the when the first building was put in, the carriage house, but whether this ordinance was in place at that time, we don't know. But now we want to consider a variance that would increase the what's the term, Sandra, the building
floor area ratio.
Floor area ratio, not from 50 to 56, but to 70 6%. And then if we throw the activity area in there, and it's not floor area, I understand, but you throw the activity area in there, that makes us a lot, you know, filled up with activity, if you will. I'm just having a real problem with hearing the issues that are being objected to, and certainly I'm a horse lover. I grew up in the industry, as Mary knows, but I'm just having a real problem with this.
Staff has a question regarding the condition on the perimeter bushes. It would be easier to administer if it was a little more specific and might reference maintaining a perimeter vegetative buffer around the paddocks and stable, which is a minimum of 18 feet from the rear or interior line. I know that it narrows in the front, but that's something we can administer, I think, a little more readily. So if the board comes to the point where they want to look at that more clearly, staff would suggest a bit more specificity.
Well, are we saying the motion needs to be amended to include that, include some specificity?
Well, I believe the wording of the motion was that it should be maintained in its present state. That's hard to quantify. If we could just ask for a dense vegetative buffer, that, and then indicate that it, there was mention about it having a 18-foot setback from the rear line, and I think that should be part of that buffer motion if you wish to consider making it more specific.
I have no problem with that, but from my point, if that's what the board as a whole would accept as a condition of this approval, the reason I didn't get more specific is, as I said when I made the motion, I believe this meets the criteria. And the only thing holding me back from 100% or more is the fact that we have two neighbors objecting. Yeah. And this, I think, being more specific as far as the maintaining the landscaping isn't going to change Mr. Allen or Mr. Howard's mind.
Yeah. So I had to get over the hurdle of the motion and then deal with the buffer. And if we get over that hurdle, I think we can deal with the buffer. Do we have any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor of the motion, show by raising the right hand. Those opposed, same sign. The motion is defeated.
But that motion being defeated, do we even go to the next one?
Yes. There's no need to go to the next one. Because we did not get the special exception. And if they had gotten a special exception, then we can deal with the other issue.
Yeah, that's mine.
Nothing else coming before the Board of Zoning Appeals? I call the meeting to it.
Has everyone signed the final orders?
Yes. No.
It passed.
Yeah. Where did it end up?
Did it get passed?
Where are they? I better not say it too loud.
Someone had it.